Church is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome to Tuesday. Pray that you are having a wonderful, wonderful day, and that God is on the throne in your life, that you are preparing for everything that he has got in store for you today, that no matter what comes up, you'll be ready, equipped, prepared to bring glory and honor to Jesus in everything that happens. So my name is Bob Arthurs. You are tuned into the Refresh Radio program. Right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. We're glad that you have tuned in today. Want to invite you out to our services this Sunday. We are going to be celebrating the ladies that God has blessed Merritt Assembly of God with. We'd like to invite you out, ladies. If you do not have a home church, we would love to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God. We are going to be celebrating Pioneer Women this Sunday. Pioneer Women, that's... I've actually had the concept of what we're going to be sharing this Sunday for about 11 months now, almost not quite 11 months, but almost 11 months. I was like, wow, I'd better write that down so I don't forget it. If you think that that doesn't happen, you know, where I can forget things that I believe that God has laid upon my heart for a very specific time, I was at lunch with a friend of mine here a couple of days ago. I started to say something, a distraction came up, and I had to say, okay, now what were we talking about? And he reminded me another distraction came up, and say, okay, what were we talking about? At this stage in life, if something needs to be remembered, I need to be writing it down, because if not, I can get distracted and my mind move completely to a different vein of thought and can't find the door back to that previous thought very well at all. So we are looking forward to this message on Sunday, and I want to encourage you. I'll just put it to you this way. If you need healing in your body, I want to invite you to come this week. It's going to be a wonderful weekend, and we are excited about what God is doing. So that'll be Sunday morning at Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953, and the service starts at 10:30. Worship service is Sunday school starts at 9:30. We will not be having a Sunday night service because we will be celebrating the ladies in our life. And so that will be taking place Sunday. Want to get you into the Word of God today. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God? And I pray that you fall in love with it. I remember Beth Moore describing how she encountered someone who was passionate about the Word, and she went to her car, and she sat there and wept, and she prayed and asked God to create in her a passion for the Word of God. And I want to create a passion in us for the truth of God. We're right now discussing how the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. And so we've talked about a number of things that we need to have the love of God being perfected in us, that we need to love the truth, we need to love in truth, and we need to speak the truth in love. That's what we talked about on yesterday's program. I know because I've got my notes written right here. I've got the date 5-6. I've got 4-6 written down, but it's actually 5-6 written down right there. So if you want to turn in your scriptures today or make a note, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 5. It says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that you that we are not disqualified. Now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong, and this also we pray that you may be made complete. So there's a lot to unpack here in this passage, but remember, we are talking about how the Holy Spirit guides us into truth. It's not just scriptural truth. He is a very sound, reliable guide. He is a wonderful guide leading you financially. He's a wonderful guide leading you on a day-to-day basis. He's a wonderful guide to leading you to true, solid, biblically glorifying relationships, leading you to the job that you need. You know, when I prayed on that Wednesday night in June of 1985, and I asked God for a job, little did I know that the job that God was going to provide, first of all, I didn't know it was going to come the next day. Second, I didn't know it was going to come because they would seek me out. And most of the jobs that have come into my life since then have been jobs that came to me, not that I had to go looking for them. But I didn't realize that when God answered that prayer, that he was going to be using that answer as step one that was going to lead to step two, step three, step four, and the career that he placed me in was going to be extremely instrumental in positioning me where he wanted me to serve the body of Christ. And so I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit guides us in truth in every area of our life. It is not intellectual suicide to be a Christian. It is intellectual truth. It is spirit, you know, the Word of God is spirit, and it is spiritually discerned. Therefore, we need the Holy Spirit to help us to understand the Word of God. So we're going to look at verses 5 through 9 here today, because there is a lot of wonderful things that we can see. First of all, it says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Notice it doesn't say have faith. You know, God has given to every person the measure of faith. He says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. And so we need to really be open to examining the condition of our spiritual life. Now, we can't do that with our emotions. We can't do that with our feelings or anything like that. We need to examine ourselves in accordance with the Word of God. What does the Word of God have to say about that situation? I was working on my house here several days ago. I was out pressure washing my house, and I came in and my wife was also doing some work on the house. She was working in the kitchen, but she had preaching going on the television. And I was pressure washing, so I was very wet. I was soaked, and so I was in the other room. I was in my bedroom, and I was changing clothes. I was taking off the wet clothes, and I could hear the sermon that was going across the television. I could hear what the preacher was saying, and it was T.D. Jakes, and he was describing how the disciples paid more attention to what they had seen than what they heard. And if you and I are going to really be able to know what's going on in the Spirit, we have got to trust in the things that we have heard. And it was like, I'm not in this prime condition to be receiving spiritual truth, but I was like, man, that is an incredible word, because we need to know what God's word has to say about us. And so there are many people, I believe, who go around and think that they are okay spiritually, but they don't understand what the word of God says, and they're therefore in a spiritual condition of unpreparedness. But I will tell you that there are many Christians who feel that they are not in a good position, and their feelings are just as messed up as the other feelings, because the word of God has identified that they are a child of God, that they are the apple of his eye. And so we need to, when we examine ourselves, we need to make sure that we're examining ourselves in accordance with the word of God. So examine yourself. And Paul says, and I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified, and that you will know that you yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you. And remember, on one of the earlier programs in this series, we talked about that the word of truth should be inside of us. It's not something that just should be something we embrace intellectually. It's something that should be affecting the way that we live. Verse number 7, now I pray to God that you do no evil. Okay, and so when we were talking about all of those things that are described in 1 John, the first one of those was in verse number 6, that you don't walk in darkness. Do no evil. I'm still old enough to remember when there was a saying that said, see no evil, hear no evil, do no evil. I'm still old enough to remember that. Well, I believe that we need to make sure that as we're representing God, that we do it in a holy manner, in a manner that is going to glorify him. And so Paul was writing to this Corinthian church, and he says, I pray to God that you do no evil. Okay, we should not need other people having to speak correction into our life. If the truth of God is living inside of us, the Holy Spirit should have open access to us on a regular basis, and there should be all sorts of warning systems and stop signs, and say, don't go there, don't go there. You don't want this in your life. And I really believe that if we're following as well as the Lord is leading, then we're not going to want to have any disqualifying practice in our life. You know, that was an interesting word that Paul used in verse number 5, unless indeed you are disqualified. In verse number 6, but I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. A disqualification happens when you are doing something that is against the rules. Okay? So there are people who compete in athletic events, but yet they have injected, whatever they've done, chemicals that have been banned, and therefore, even though they might win the race, they end up getting disqualified, or in a race where somebody has done something to the car that is against the rules. And even though they looked like they won the race, when the officials did the examination, they said, no, you have been disqualified. You're not getting the payday. You're not getting the trophy. You're not getting the points. You have been disqualified. Well, we're talking about spiritual awards. We're talking about spiritual trophies, and we need to make sure that we do no evil. What is the alternative? But that you should do what is honorable. But that you should do what is honorable. So there are a lot of people that think that just because do something that is honorable, that therefore they should receive the honor. But I will tell you that a word that God gave me many years ago, and that is there are many dishonorable people who do honorable things. And what was meant by that is there are many honorable callings, but the people who are in those callings end up behaving in dishonorable ways, and therefore they lose all of the awards, all of the accolades that could have been theirs had they done what was honorable. Let me see if I can. I'm not going to be able to find that particular passage, but this concept of honor was very important. It was a lack of honor that kept Moses out of the promised land. Moses was commanded to provide water for the people. The first time that he was commanded, he was instructed to strike the rock, and he did that, and water came out. But the second time, God said, I don't want you to strike the rock. I want you to speak to the rock. And Moses was pretty frustrated with the people, and he said, how many times must we do this for you? And in his frustration, he ended up striking the rock, and water came out. God still provided the water. But he told Moses that because Aaron and Moses had, and this is the way that it is worded in the NIV, because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the people, you are not going to get to go into the promised land. And Moses fought against that reality, and he fought against that reality, and he wanted to blame the people. It was always about the blaming the other people. I want you to know that other people are not the reason that I've done things that were displeasing in God's sight. You can't always blame the other person. It's not always about the friends. You have to step up and accept the responsibility. The reason that I had to ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins wasn't because of what Adam did. It wasn't because of what other people did around me. It was my own fault. It was my bad decisions. It was my failure to honor God. And so I want to call the body of Christ to honor God, not just in our worship on Sundays, but to honor God even in the public places, even when things are challenging, and honor him that he is able to do things that we cannot do. You know, Moses was a pretty active guy. I mean, even late in his life, he was still pretty active. His capabilities had not diminished any. And yet, what God was looking for the most in him was to honor him. I will tell you this, that I don't care, you know, what happened in your life. You and I are called to live a life of honor. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to be able to always do what someone else wants me to do, but I can still honor them and not belittle them or embarrass them. I don't have to rebel against them. I can still honor them and maintain the fact that I've got to honor God. I cannot honor another person more than I honor God. That would be a dishonorable thing. Verse number 8 says this, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. I want you to highlight that verse in your Bible there. Mark it down, verse number 8. And it is what Paul responds. He says, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. That was the manner in which Paul lived after his conversion. I'm not going to go against the truth. He had found himself, if you remember when Jesus encountered him on the road to Damascus, he said, Paul, or Saul, at that time it was Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks, the prods, the direction that God was trying to get his attention to and move him in the way that he wanted him to be. And Paul was very adamant about his attitude. He was zealous more than his peers were zealous. He thought he was doing God a service, and he found that he was fighting against God. He viewed himself as the chiefest of sinners because he persecuted the saints. He persecuted the church. And now he says, I've got a new rule in my life, and that is this: I can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. The Spirit of truth is never going to lead you to do something that is contrary to the nature of God, contrary to the direction of God that he has said. I was in a meeting one time. This person described how they had plotted a course. They were unhappy with the direction of something, and they had plotted a course, and they were going to bring about a division. This was no one local, and they had the strategy all laid out until they had a time of prayer. And God said, so that's your plan. Notice he didn't say, so that's my plan. But God said to him, so that's your plan. You think that this plan lines up with the truth of my word. And this guy said, and all of a sudden I realized that God wasn't in what I thought God was in. And he adopted the mindset here. Well, I can't do my plan anymore. I've got to embrace God's plan. And he makes this comment, and he said, and God said, bring your checkbook. He said, I want you to do exactly 180 degrees opposite of what you were going to do. And I want you to bring your checkbook with you. I want you to make sure that you are not just not opposing, but that you are actually supporting, that you are providing spiritual support, that you are providing influential support, that you are providing financial support and support with your time, and that you are promoting unity in the body. I believe that you and I, we would find a lot less church splits if we would conduct our lives in such a manner that says, you know what, I can't tell how everybody else is going to respond, but I do know this. God does not want me, and God does not want believers operating contrary to the truth of God's word. He wants us operating for the truth. So he does not want division. He does not want strife. He does not want discord. He wants peace. He wants unity of purpose. He does not want division. He does not like contention. He wants his house to be known as a house of prayer. He wants his house to be a place where people come and they find that it is a place of spiritual bread. It's a place where needs are met and they get to have an encounter of God. I don't believe that he wants us arguing, and none of this is going on at Merit Assembly of God. You know, he doesn't want us arguing over the color of the carpet. He doesn't want us arguing over the color of the pews or the color of the walls in the bathrooms or any of that sort of stuff. He wants us living for the truth in an honorable way. And he said, and this also we pray that you may be made complete. That you may be made complete. the truth that the Holy Spirit wants to lead us into today is that we have it as our desire, our plumb bob, if you're construction, you know, to make sure that we are vertical, that we are straight, that we're in perfect alignment, our walls are not veering one way or the other, is to know this. Okay, all I can do as a believer is what God has told me in his word, that's the truth to do. You and I, we need to do the truth. We cannot go about doing things that are contrary to the truth. If you look at your life today and see that there are some things out of alignment with the Word of God, aren't you thankful that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? He will also plot us a course that is in line with the truth of God's Word. And what will take place in us as a result of all of these things is that we will find that God is making us complete. You know, a passage that's talked about in the scriptures is that if the rulers of darkness had known what God had in mind with the crucifixion, the resurrection, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. They would have never started that process rolling. God had a bigger plan. And the devil made a tactical error. And I believe that he still makes those tactical errors. I believe that he plots courses for people that is ultimately designed to embarrass the body of Christ and to bring about less than noble means. But I tell you what, if we will allow God to lead us instead of the devil lead us, we're going to find that the Holy Spirit's going to do a course correction in our life, and He is going to bring us to a place of completion, and He will frustrate the devil's plan in your life. Maybe there are some things you've been entertaining in your spirit, and today the Holy Spirit says, no, that's not of me. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
The greatest love that anyone could ever know, it overcame the cross and grave to find my soul. Until I see you face to face, and grace amazing takes me home, I'll trust in you. And all I am, I live to see your kingdom come. And in my heart, I pray you let your will be done. Until I see you face to face, and grace amazing takes me home, I'll trust in you.